This episode of the Old Dogs REI Network is brought to you by Mino Studio. Mino Studio is a pre- and post-production facility for all of your audio needs. Mino Studio's founder is an accredited audio engineer with top 40 and indie album credits. With over 30 years of music industry experience, Mino Studio can take your podcast from idea to reality. Contact Mino Studio at MinoStudio777@gmail.com for more information. That's MinoStudio777@gmail.com.
In a world where jobs are how most people make money, one man, one desire, one challenge dares to break the mold. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where we don't work for money. Money works for us. Coming soon, viewer discretion advised.
Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice, so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manicero.
Well, hello, old dogs. Wow, this is great. We're so excited to have you listening to this show. Before we start with the interview, I just wanted to say a couple of things. First, thank you. Thank you for listening to us. Thank you for taking the time. We know you're busy and taking the time to listen to our show and participate. We are so grateful for it. I want to tell you, too, that we'll be releasing our podcast on a regular basis on Monday mornings, unless, let's say, there's a holiday. We still may release it on Monday, but generally Monday mornings, you should be able to wake up in the morning and be able to download the podcast for that week. Also wanted to just invite you to visit our website, olddogsreinetwork.com. Of course, dog spelled D-A-W-G-S. Anytime you want to come by, come by. There's a blog there. We have a lot of articles and information that would be of use for you in looking into real estate investing. I have a list of my top real estate books that are a great place to get started on the education process, and a lot of other resources that you'll be able to download or read or have access to, including our podcast, which will be available soon on our website. I also want to announce, too, that we're going to be doing a separate podcast that will come out on Fridays. We call it Fun Fact Fridays. And Fun Fact Fridays will be special broadcasts that will purvey important real estate investing messages addressing key terms, concepts, and strategies pertinent to your real estate investing success. Subjects like, what is cap rate and why is it important? Or five tips for getting bank funding faster. These brief 5 to 10 minute broadcasts will provide a condensed, easy to understand, bite-sized picture of things you need to know to grow your real estate investments and or business. So be watching, you're on, you can't watch here, we're on a podcast, but listen and check into our broadcast to see those and download them. Hopefully we'll have a whole library eventually of some key information that will be helpful for you that I'll be presenting again on Fridays only. So that's it. Again, thank you so much for following the show, for downloading and listening. Gosh, we've already had amazing response. Many of you have gone to iTunes and subscribe to the podcast, downloaded the episodes. rated them, and we've had almost 100% response of 5-star ratings, as well as some great reviews that you have written. We thank you for that, and that will help us to also increase our visibility as we try to reach out to more people that have a need and interest in real estate investing. So we thank you for that, and just invite you to hang out with us and continue to be a part of the network. Thank you, and God bless. Well, I'm here this morning with David Lindahl. David Lindahl has an amazing background in real estate investing, and real thrilled to have him here today. Not only has he written some classics in real estate investing, but he has an amazing story, which he's going to share with you this morning. Let me give you just a brief background, and then I'll have Dave tell you in his own words his story. With more than 18 years of experience in real estate investing, Dave Lindahl has rehabbed over 820 houses and currently controls over 7,400 apartment units. Dave is the author of 2 number one best-selling books, Emerging Real Estate Markets and Multifamily Millions. His third book through Donald Trump's organization is entitled Commercial Real Estate Investing 101, How Small Investors Can Get Started and Make It Big. Among other publications, Dave has been featured in Reader's Digest, Creative Real Estate Lifestyles, AOL, and Kiplinger magazine. Starting as a dead-broke landscaper living in a one-bedroom apartment, David Lindahl started buying and selling multi-unit properties in Brockton, Massachusetts, to create a better life for himself. With no real estate experience, he created systems that allowed him to create enough monthly positive cash flow to retire within 3.5 years. In addition to his expertise in real estate investing, Dave offers a series of home study materials and live events for investors. We'll talk about how to contact him and get that information at the end of the broadcast. So, David, I'm really thrilled to have you here today. And why don't you tell us in your own words how you got started in real estate investing?
All right. Thanks for having me on, Bill.
Yeah.
I started investing when I was about 24, 25 years old after being in a rock and roll band for almost 8 years, left home when I was 16 years old. And when I finally smartened up and left that band, I just wanted a better life, basically. And I started a landscaping company. And I just basically went door to door to people that had high grass and asked them if I could mow their lawns, and I was able to. But being from Boston, when the winter came, it was really tough. There was no lawns to mow. Everything was frozen. So I did odd jobs in the wintertime, and then a friend who was working for a bank asked me if I wanted to do some repairs on a property that they had foreclosed on. This was back in the early 90s. And I said, absolutely, actually the late 80s, early 90s. So I said, yeah. He didn't ask me if I wanted to buy it. He just asked me if I wanted to repair it. And, you know, I didn't know how to repair houses, but I knew I needed money. So I went to Home Depot and I learned how to, you know, do odds and ends types of stuff. I learned how to call contractors. My cousin taught me how to bid properly and what to pay people. And before I knew it, I had a contracting company. And then I saw a late night TV, You Can Get Rich in Real Estate program. And I bought that, and I didn't take action right away. I waited a little bit of time, and it was new and improved about a year later, and I bought it again. And what the turning point was, I went to my local real estate investment group, realized there were people just like me in that group, you know, pretty much the same demographic, didn't have much money, looking to get ahead, and they were doing it. And I thought, if they could do it, I can do it too. So I just followed along and continued to educate myself, bought my first multifamily property. I didn't start with single family properties like most people do. I started with multifamily properties because I saw an interview with a guy by the name of Harry Helmsley. We started buying and selling multifamily properties in New York City, and then ended up owning the Empire State Building. So Harry said, you know, these people will buy properties for you. They'll pay for the maintenance on the property for you. They'll pay for the they will pay for the management company to manage them for you, so you don't have to, which they're tenants. And they'll give you money at the end of the month as a reward for buying the property and taking no money out of your pocket as cash flow, as income. That you can use to do whatever you want with, you know, go out, have some fun, save it, reinvest in some other properties. And I thought, my God, if that's true, I want in. And because I didn't have any money, and I thought, if tenants will pay me every month to pay for all that stuff and give me extra money as a bonus for doing it, then I want to try it. And it took me about 9 months to do my first deal because I was afraid. And then after I did my first deal, within 3 months, I had 6. Within 9 months, I had 11. And that first year, I had like 14 properties. And I was off and running. Within 3 years, I had 40 smaller ones, and my life had changed dramatically. And then I started, and I realized that I had become a multimillionaire. Most of that was in equity in these smaller properties. And I realized that what goes up must come down. I did get lucky at the beginning. I got in the right market at the right time. I didn't know anything about market cycles at the time. But then I learned about market cycles, and I learned to follow job growth. And I started moving my equity down to Alabama and then to Texas and all around the U.S. to currently we're in 18 different markets and over 7,400 units. So that's how it all started. It started with a crazy kid from a rock and roll band that just was looking to have a better life and stumbled into real estate.
Wow. Well, when you were in contracting, was it your interaction with a lot of these investors that really made you think, gee whiz, I'm on the wrong side here?
Yeah, they were coming into the properties and they were looking. There was two different types of people looking at these properties. There were the homeowners and there were the investors. The homeowners wanted to know if their furniture was going to fit, and the investors wanted to know what else was wrong with the property. So they would ask me questions, then I started asking them questions like, what are you doing, how much are you going to make, and so on. And I found out they were going to make like 5 or 6 times more than I was making doing the rehab. And I thought, if I could do that, that would be great. And then I saw this No Money Down course, on TV. It was Carlton Sheets at the time. Mm-hmm. I bought it. And then when I went to the local real estate investment club and realized that, yeah, there's other people also doing this with no money down. And that's when I realized I could do it.
Did you really start with no money down on your first deal?
I started, yeah. I actually got credit cards. I went to a seminar that said, give as many credit cards as you can. Use them with down payments. I did that for my first two deals, and it worked out pretty good.
That's wild.
And then I learned about hard money, getting hard money from hard money lenders. And then I learned about private money, getting money from the people that the hard money lenders get it from, just private individuals that will fund deals. And it's been, and then we owned so many properties at one time that they started becoming, the cash flow was enough for a down payment for a new property. So it was self-propelling.
That's awesome. Was there a certain point where you said, okay, that's it in terms of the number of apartments and number of units that you have? Or are you still looking to grow more?
Oh, we're still growing. It's when you learn how to do it and when you learn the systems and you systemize it, then what you do is it's easy to do. Right? So there's no reason to stop unless you just get to. Some people will invest in real estate. I've been teaching now for 12 years how to do it. I've been investing for 18 years. I've been teaching for 12, and I see some students come in and they get to a point where they're just looking to make X amount of cash flow so they can go out and do other things that they want to do in life. So you have those people, and then you have people that come in that's what their plan was, but they realize that, hey, this is not that difficult to do. So not only do I want to do, I want to be able to have the cash flow to do X, but I also want to leave a legacy behind as well. So they keep investing. For me, I have a passion for doing deals in real estate. So my first goal was 100 units. I hit that. Then my next goal was 1,000 units. I hit that. And my next goal was 10,000 units. But being a market cycle guy, every time I get to a certain point, the cycles change. So, you're constantly buying and selling at different points. So my portfolio is going up and down on a regular basis. We actually just sold off 5,000 units, the biggest deal in Texas, 5,000 units in 11 different markets.
Wow.
All from being based here in Boston.
Amazing. Well, I mean, with so much going on, this is one of the reasons I contacted you and wanted to have you on the show is that you are actively investing and you're teaching too. And there are those out there that are just really teaching and aren't that active anymore. Maybe they were at one time. But I think the fact that you're in the market, you're facing the same things that your students are facing. Maybe on a higher level, but you're there. You're in the trenches, and that's what's really appealing. I think for me, who's purchased your materials, attended your events, and so forth, because I really see that you're legit, and I think that's, and you probably hate the term, but you are a guru in this area,
no guru status.
Yeah, but I mean it's true. You're well known, and the thing that really hit me is that I just kept running into people that were successful in real estate investing, and they would say to me, hey, it was Dave's program that got me started. And we just interviewed Jeff Greenberg. I don't know if you know.
Oh, yeah, Jeff. Yeah. He's a crazy good guy.
Yeah, and there's a list. I mean, I keep running into these guys, and some of the most successful ones are those that have gone through your courses. So it's you know, I'm not getting paid by Dave to do this. I'm just saying it really from my heart because I think that that's one thing that makes you stand out.
Yeah, thanks. That's exactly what we do. You know, I'd gone to a lot of different programs when I first started out. Once I realized there was out there people teaching, and you know, the more I learned, the more money I would make. And you know, there are some people that you're right. They're not doing it. They basically own a marketing company. And then there are people that are out there doing it. So I learned from both, or I went to both different types of events. And when I started teaching, I wanted to make sure that I was teaching stuff that worked in the marketplace, number one, that anybody that came to an event or get a program got their money's worth, didn't feel like, you know, that they got ripped off, basically like I did in some of the events I did. But more importantly, it's just it is another business, but it's what we do on a regular basis that we teach our students. We give them the foundational information to get started and continue to systemize their business. But then, you know, as markets change and cycle, you know, there's different tips, techniques that are working in each particular phase, and that's what we share. Because we're out there doing it on a regular basis as well. We never stopped investing. That's great. It's a lot of fun. We meet some great people like Jeff Greenberg and people from all around the country and the world now.
That's great. Yeah, one thing that's in giving your bio, you just kind of, you know, go over a very significant period of time and what you accomplished. But in that, I'm sure you accounted a lot of mistakes, things that happened to you that that helped shape and reshape the way you do things, because you're very systems oriented. And I wanted to ask you, you know, and I think it's be helpful for our listeners, is what would you say sort of your biggest mistake that was also a good learning experience for you?
Well, my biggest mistake was I had done a lot of smaller deals, so I thought I was ready to go up and do big deals. There was nobody out there educating like I educate for multifamilies. There was a lot of guys doing single family, so I had to do like a lot of trial and error. So I had done, you know, over 40 smaller multifamily deals, and I thought I could jump right into a big one. I mean, a big one, a 420-unit property.
Wow.
And in another state, in Alabama. And I didn't think it was going to be a problem, but I had two other businesses growing pretty fast at the same time as well. And it became a problem because I didn't focus on it enough. I thought it was going to be a two-year turnaround. It was a turnaround property that took me 6 years. And, oh, my God, it was so painful, most painful thing in my life. And I learned a lot by then. I bit off more than I could chew. I lost the power of focus. And fortunately, I got out of that deal, and it didn't hurt too bad. What hurt was I was focused on keeping this deal straight because I had investors in this deal. It was one of my first investor deals as well.
Mm.
So I had investors in this deal, and I wanted to make sure they didn't lose any money. So I was so focused on this deal, and it was so difficult to do because it wasn't in the right area of town. And that focus took me away from I don't know how many other deals I could have done. Like we teach how to do what we call momentum plays, deals that cash flow are closing. I don't know how many more of those I could have done if I didn't have to focus on this thing to make sure it was going to go right for 6 years.
Now, you refer to it as a turnaround deal. Just for our audience, could you clarify what that means?
Yeah, we call those repositionings, actually. And that's a property that's less than 85% occupied. 85% is called equilibrium, and that's where you can get the conventional financing. So it was less than 85% occupied, and we needed to reposition both the property, it needed repairs, and the tenant profile, which we needed a better tenant profile in there. This particular property was 42% occupied, which – at the time,
wow.
You know, it's pretty brash. I just thought, yeah, this is not going to be a problem. I'll just walk in here and do this. Didn't work like that.
What city was it in?
I was down in Huntsville, Alabama.
Oh, in Huntsville.
Which is a great market. I've owned over 1,000 units there.
Wow.
And we actually just bought a new one. It's called Stone Crossing, right behind the BMW dealership on University down there.
Wow. Would you say that's an emerging market at this time?
Oh, yeah. Huntsville is such a great market. I predict it's going to be as large as Atlanta in 20 years.
Wow.
It's just a really good market.
That's great.
Yeah, I've been in there since 2006. That was my first deal in there, and I've had several others since then.
And how many properties did you have before you went into that?
I had one in Montgomery, a 40 unit. I went from a 40 to an 80, and then I jumped into the 400. This is great.
Right. I love it. Now, conversely, what would you say would be your biggest success, your biggest successful deal that you've done?
We did we did a deal called the Wyndhams just also south of Dallas, and we bought that property for about $5.5 million. It was an assumed note, and then we were able to sell it 2 years later for well over $9 million. So that was a good one.
Wow. Yeah. A year later?
Just under 2 years later.
Under 2 years, okay.
What we did was, it was a classic value add. You know, you find a property that has lower rents, lower occupancies, higher than average expenses, and you go in with the management company and you do the turnaround plan. And, you know, this wasn't a repositioning. It was 90% occupied when we bought it. And, you know, we did what we needed to do to increase that occupancy and increase the rents, and boom. And the market took off, which was good. We hit the right market at the right time. That's what emerging market investing is all about. And it was just good. Good deal.
What year was that? Do you remember?
That was 4 years ago.
4 years ago. Now that market.
4 years ago. This 3 years later. 4 years we bought it. 2 years after that, we sold it.
Wow, unbelievable. Yeah. Well, as you know, our audience is comprised mainly of 50-plussers here, and some are approaching retirement and are trying to look at ways to be able to hedge their bet here so that they can really enjoy their retirement. Then there's those that are in retirement already that are looking for a way to increase their cash flow, their income. And I just wanted to, again, you know, tap into your experience. You've got over 15 years of experience here. Looking at this, somebody in this situation with limited reserves, how would you advise them in getting started? How should they get started?
Well, first of all, I'm part of the club. I'm 52 years old.
You're an old dog, Dave.
I am, but you know, I plan on living to be 110, so I'm not even halfway there yet.
All right.
110 and dancing. That's my motto.
I love it. Dancing with the stars, huh?
So, to get started, number one, you learn as much as you can about it before you move forward. You always have the attitude that you're not going to be a property manager. You're not going to deal with tenants. You're going to be a good asset manager. That's what good multifamily owners are. They're asset managers and not property managers. So you can accumulate more deals and more cash flow instead of dealing with tenants, trash, and toilets, as we call it. And so you learn what you can. You build a good team in a marketplace, whether it be your own backyard or an emerging market. You know, you can do business knowing the four phases of a market cycle. You can be doing business in all four phases. And then if you're interested in emerging markets, you know, we can show you how to invest where the emerging markets are and how to build a team in those markets and invest there as well. The great thing about emerging markets is it's explosive appreciation. So you get to where you want to get to faster. And that's the same. And it's not that you can't do it in your own backyard either, because it's a great place to start. But you typically do it through what we call the value add or forced appreciation. So you find properties that have those small problems and have the management company fix them for you. So the best thing to do is just to get started at a level that you're comfortable. Once you start doing the bigger deals, you realize that the bigger deals are easier to do and you make a whole lot more money. But you got to wrap your mind around it. A lot of people subconsciously are afraid to do the bigger deals at first because they just don't have a lot of experience. So you get started where you're comfortable, whether it be a 3 to a 10 unit deal, a 20 to a 60 unit deal, or a 100 plus unit deal. Wherever you're comfortable, start there, and then boom. You know, your first deal is always going to be the hardest. But after you do your first deal, you'll have gone through the system. You'll have gone through all the different things that you need to have gone through to do a deal, so you'll have that experience. But more importantly, and you'll have built a team to help you get through it, because nobody does this alone. But more experience, more important, you'll have the confidence to know that you can do it. And because you've just closed on a deal, boom, the second deal comes very, very quickly. And before you know it, you're marching forward to a lot of deals. And that's what we see. The first year is your foundational year. You'll do a couple of deals. Your second year is your exploding year. And that's when, you know, everything changes. And you're crazy busy. But it's good because, you know, you're doing well. You're creating cash flows. You're creating equities. You're getting what's called acquisition fees if you use private money. You know, other people to fund your deals, they'll actually pay you for putting the deal together at the closing, which is nice as well. So that's how I suggest you get started. That's how we've been training people for the last 12 years. You know, the first couple of years, I trained people to go out and do big deals, not realizing that subconsciously they were going to sabotage themselves because they were afraid to do it. Once I really learned that, really learned how to teach people how to do this, you know, because even teaching was trial and error as well. But we've really perfected a system of teaching people how to do it and starting where they're comfortable and then going to different levels. And it's a good thing. So yeah. The most important thing is to get educated, get started.
Yeah, that
and some people get hung up in sort of the education part, and then they never really take that plunge. And
it's really important to execute.
Yeah, I think you learn more in that first year, you know, going through the process of finding the property, buying it, you know, financing it, all these steps is just, I mean, there's no education to match that. I agree. I think you just got to get in and do it.
And you use what you learned through your education as the fallback. It's like, okay, so I'm at this part of the deal. Okay, now what am I supposed to do? And then you do it, and then, you know, something will pop up, and you're like, oh, you know, this just happened. And you look at your, you know, you look at your manual and say, okay, now I'm supposed to do this with that. Or you know, you get support from the office as well. You something that you never even heard about because you don't know, or you forget what you learned because there's so much to learn. Call the office, and we say, oh, yeah, when you get into the situation, this is what you do. Move forward.
That's great. And you're really into turnkey too, you know, trying to really set up systems, right, so that it just makes it that much easier for somebody to move and grow in their business.
Yeah, you know, it is a business too. You got to treat it like a business and not a hobby. That's a mistake that we see people do. So you want to create all the systems so you can delegate everything except for raising the money. You know, you can delegate all the way to the acquisitions as well. At the first, you'll be doing everything, you know, but it's good because you'll learn everything and you'll learn what the systems are all about. And then you gradually delegate each piece out. And then before you know it, you're getting deals, getting money. And then you'll get to a point where you're just getting money.
Right.
It's good.
Talk about your current business. Is there something that you're doing now? When I say business, I guess you've got really multiple businesses here, but in the midst of that, what is really the one thing that's just really exciting you about your business today?
My real estate business?
Yes.
I'm really excited because some of the markets are going to, in 2 to 3 years, we're preparing for the correction. You know, so I'm really excited about the next correction that's coming up. Every market's different when you're an emerging market investor. You know, the national economy is one thing, but, you know, we really follow job growth. So there are some markets already correcting and there are markets about to correct. But knowing what we know now, I mean, what's exciting is the anticipated correction. And that's why for people listening, it's a great time to get started, get some experience. So when the correction comes, you can accumulate a lot and it will appreciate very, very swiftly as we work out of the next correction. And, you'll do very well.
I like how you refer to it as a correction as opposed to a crash, like some might say.
Yeah, I don't see a big crash coming, but there's definitely a correction coming. And that's why you want to learn how to buy good properties in good areas very conservatively. So when the correction does come, your property weathers the storm very easily. You're still getting your cash flow. You know, you may have a little hiccup here, a little hiccup there, but that comes with any business. But, you know, you've got something that's weathering it through, and you can focus on scooping up the opportunities that's in the marketplace when the correction comes.
Right. And if you go in there with the right fundamentals, and it is numbers, you know, going in there, buying properties undervalued and so forth, that when those corrections happen, you're going to survive it, and where others are going to hurt in other investment areas.
Yeah, and they're not even undervalued because we always base the purchase price on the actual numbers that the property's producing. Mm-hmm. So that's the actual market value at the time the opportunity comes because, you know, you can't increase those rents. You can't increase the occupancy. Something that the management company, the owner, is not doing that you can do to increase the cash flow that increases the value of the property. So you buy it with good cash flow, and then when you buy with value add, you actually increase that cash flow and your equity in the property, to a substantial amount. That's what's so exciting about both value add investing and emerging market investing. That's and when you put the two together, oh my gosh, it's just like nirvana.
So what are some of your key fundamentals when you do look at a property that, you know, you're not going to look at something out of this range? How would you define your parameters?
Well, there's four different types of properties. There's A, B, C, and D, and you're going to make most of your money in Bs and the Cs. A's are luxury properties. D's are in war zones. So you make most of your money in your Bs and your Cs. You want to get the Bs as soon as you can. They're more expensive, but, you know, when the market increases, they're going to appreciate faster and higher. But our criteria are there's three ratios that you'll find in this business. There's the capitalization rate, which determines the value. There's the cash-on-cash return that tells you how fast you're going to get your money back. Or if you don't put any money in the deal, it tells your investors how fast they're going to get it back. And then there's the debt coverage ratio, which tells you how many times your cash flow covers your mortgage payment, which a good ratio that the banks want to see is a 1.25. But I've found that if we're going to go out and get private money investors into our deals, We need that capitalization rate to be a 7.75 or higher. We need the cash on cash return to be a 12% or higher. And we need that debt coverage ratio to be a 1.6 or higher. And that allows us to take a deal, get other people to finance it for us, and we get at least 25% of the cash flow, 25% of the resale profits, and also the full acquisition fee. And that is a great way to get started. And some of your deals will be so good that it'll be 50-50. You don't put any money in the deal, but yet you get 50% of the cash flow and 50% of the equity and the full acquisition fee.
Sweet.
So that's our first criteria, B market, B or C area, B or C property with those three ratios.
Wow, great. Great information, David. This is our portion right now where we sort of wrap it up. And I will ask you just a series of sort of quicker questions in terms of quick response answers, if you can.
All right.
So favorite real estate book, and I know you're going to probably list some of yours, but if you say, you know, you can go ahead and say one of yours and one of another outside book. How's that?
Hey, my favorite book is my own book. It's called The Emerging Real Estate Market. So if I've excited anybody about emerging real estate, I wrote a book about it, Emerging Real Estate Markets. But the one that got me started was a book called Fortune Beneath Your Feet by a guy by the name of Kessler. And I thought, wow, man, if I can do this, and if this is really true, then I'm going for it. And that was a, it was a 20-year plan, and I reached that 20-year plan in 3 years.
Wow. Favorite business book?
Good to Great. It's an awesome book. Read the first 100 pages. It tells you everything you need to know about growing a business.
How about favorite website for real estate? Not including your own.
I like Reis.com, R-E-I-S.com. Gives great demographics on markets.
How about favorite app on your phone?
My favorite app is a Fixture that tells me if the movies are any good. I only have four apps on my phone.
Okay. That's great. That's great. Okay. Now here's a question for our audience here. If you had to start all over, let's say just something happened and you lost everything. Okay. And here it is. You got to start over. But all you got is $1,000 in the bank.
Yeah.
What would you do with that $1,000? Knowing what you know.
Well, to rebuild, I would go out and I would start creating relationships with brokers, and I would go to business events and social events to raise private money, and I would get into a cash flowing real estate deal. I mean, that's the thing. You wouldn't have to spend $1,000 to get onto the deal. You spend the money to do the networking. It's all about networking, who you know, through private money, and also who you know through through getting the deals. Maybe with $1,000, I might do a direct mail campaign. You know, go to the assessor's office, get a list of people that own 2 to 4 unit properties. From that list, take all the out-of-state owners out of the list, and then do direct mail to them. You know, because usually they get some sort of pain going on if they're not managing properly, or their management company's not managing properly. So you get a couple of good deals out of that pretty easily.
Oh, that's great. Great advice. Well, we're about at the end of our interview here. I'm glad you talked faster, and I can tell you're a teacher. But when we always close out our show, we ask our guests. Now, we're called the Old Dogs REI Network. So what we do is each of our guests, we ask them to do their best old hound dog howl. Okay.
You?
Yeah. To close out. And I don't want to put you on the spot.
One of my websites.
What's that?
I want to send some people to one of my websites. Can
oh,
I do that?
Yes, you could do that.
I give away a free book.
Definitely.
Yeah, I got a free book. It's called Massive Passive Income. You can go to davesfreebook.com. Make sure you put the S in there, davesfreebook.com, and you can sign up, and we'll send you a free book called Massive Passive Income.
Ah, great, great. Also, Dave, I might add too. There's an event in August in Massachusetts. I'm going to be there. So if anybody wants to come to this thing, can you just tell a little bit about that? It sounds like a blast. My first one.
Oh man, that's what I call our ultimate partnering event. We've been doing it for 8 straight years now. We've been teaching for 12 years, so we have all our alumni students coming back. We have new people coming in, and it's an event where everybody's in there to network. So you're networking to get deals, you're networking to get money, you're networking to get started. There's a lot of newer people in there as well. We have a lot of fun. There's a lot of great education taught at the front of the room. We give away a car. This year we're giving away a BMW. And it's just a great event, and everybody knows that they're to meet people. So we even do speed networking at the very beginning, so you can focus on who your targets are in the room for the 3 days. But you learn, you meet, you're in a network of people that are doing what you want to do. It's like a big family. It's like a big family reunion of 12 years of teaching. It's just it's a lot of fun, and it's a great education. It's a great education piece. That website is actually eventwithdave.com. If you want to learn more about that, you can go to eventwithdave.com. And, yeah, Bill will be there. I'll be there. There's going to be a lot of we're going to do Hall of Fames. We're going to award students into our Hall of Fame. And we have a money machine. We do dance contests. I mean, not only did you get educated, but we had so much fun. It's in the middle of Boston. It's August 19th to the 21st. And it's a good time.
And I'll be the guy there with the wheelbarrow. I'm just going to be going around just filling it up, you know, as we just kind of walk through the aisles, right? That's okay, right?
Wheelbarrow full of money?
Yeah. Yeah, just basically for deals, right?
Oh, yeah. You will find a lot. You know, we've got a lot of successful students through the years come, and they're successful, and they're looking for the newer people that are being trained properly to be like bird dogs. So they supply the money, they bring, and the bird dog brings in, the new person brings in the deal, and it's a great marriage. And that happens all the time
at
that event.
And what's the best way for people to get a hold of you, just to or your materials?
Call the office. The office number is 781-878-7114. So 781-878-7114. If you want to talk to me, I'll be happy to talk to you. If you want to talk to anybody in the office about what we have coming up, they'll be happy to give you information as well.
That's awesome. Okay, well, you put this off long enough, Dave.
hound dog?
This is the howl, yeah. This is the, come on, I know you're from Massachusetts. There aren't a lot of hound dogs walking around.
You're pissed if you wonder what's going on in my office. That's okay, ready? Ow, ow, ow! Ow, ow, ow!
That was great. Woo, David, man. Oh, that's good. That's going to go in our Hall of Fame. Sorry. That was great. Well, David, thank you so much. Great, man. I got a lot of great information in right on time here. And really appreciate your taking the time. I know you're a busy guy. And
hey, thanks for having me on and put me in front of your group. It's been fun. I'm looking forward to meeting you over at the event.
Yeah.
Meet you in person.
Just look for the guy with the wheelbarrow, you know. No problem.
All right. I will.
All right, Dave. Well, thank you very much. And just have a blessed day.
Thanks, Bill. You too.
All right.